Okay, I'm back. I'm starting the show differently today because it's ArtCast 2.0 time. No, everything is 2.0 these days, right? Now we have Web 2.0, we had Developer 2.0 on the podcast. Now we're having Enterprise 2.0. Yeah, today I'm joined by my colleague and next door neighbor, Harry Pearson, and we're kind of thinking out loud about how these Web 2.0 trends are going to impact the way that we use information systems inside the firewall, inside the enterprise. And you know, that's a real interesting discussion to think about, the ways in which these things will change and what kind of changes are necessary to make the best use of the data that we're gathering, because we're gathering a mountain of it. I mean, it's everywhere. So let's think about that as we welcome Harry Pearson. Hey, this is Ron Jacobs back again here in Redmond for once, just for today and tomorrow. Then on Monday, I'm back on the road. Actually, I'm going to Israel, where I'm going to be speaking at Tech at Israel, and we'll be recording a whole bunch of ArtCast there, and it's going to be really fun. And so while I was here in the office, I went to my next-door neighbor here, Harry, who's like, and Harry's always going, "Hey, Ron, are you ever around or what?"
That's funny. I just walked down the hall. I was like, "Oh, look, Ron's not in his office." That's, 86 days in a row now? I was shocked to see you when you walked down the hall today.
That's right, yeah. Well, you know, so here we are, and you were telling me about this thing that you've been writing about called Enterprise 2.0. Now, I mean, we talked about Developer 2.0 on a previous episode of this show, and we're hearing a lot about Web 2.0. I wonder when Ron 2.0 is coming out. I don't know, but what is Enterprise 2.0 about?
So, the whole 2.0 moniker is, I think it's just being used to indicate revolution, right? That there's a big change happening. And in fact, I've written on my blog about the fact that Web 2.0 is a pretty, you know, strange name in and of itself, because you know, you can imagine at least three or four, you know, versions of the web, right? The sort of pre DARPANET days, you know, kind of ARCNET days, the early days of sort of dial-up access, the days of broadband access. So, and now we have sort of ubiquitous broadband mobile access, sort of this two-way web. So I'm actually up to at least Web 4.0. So
okay.
I don't know. Yeah. So Enterprise 2.0 is a name. It's a concept that's been sort of bumping around a little bit in the blogosphere. Dion Hinchcliffe has written about what he calls Enterprise Web 2.0 several times. Dion came to our Spark conference back in Vegas.
Yeah, I remember he was on my show.
Yeah.
And actually he says it's Dion.
Dion?
Yeah.
Great. I'm hopefully going to get a chance to talk to him. Of course, by the time you publish this, maybe I will have already done this. I'm going to D.C. in a couple of weeks.
So oh, great.
Better not mispronounce his name then.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he's been talking about, you know, what is going to be the effect on the enterprise of these Web 2.0 types of technologies? And, you know, regardless of whether it's 2.0 or 3.0 or 4.0 or 7.6 or whatever version of the web we're really on, one of the key aspects of this current generation is that it's really two-way, right? So, you know, technologies like blogs and wikis are about, you know, any individual being able to publish whatever they want and to be able to have a conversation with other individuals. So you have a sort of very decentralized kind of a model, right, as opposed to a sort of a forum, like a web-based forum like the MSDN architecture ones, which is a very centralized model, right? People go to the same place to read and write. Excuse me. And so this is part of a larger concept that Dion has referred to as democratization of content, right? That lots and lots of people generate lots and lots of different kinds of content. And what's going to be the effect inside the firewall on the enterprise? So then last month, there was an article in the MIT Sloan magazine called Enterprise 2.0 by a guy named Andrew McAfee. And he makes the argument that these technologies that are Web 2.0 technologies, like blogs and wikis, are going to transform the enterprise. It's going to really change the way the enterprise communicates. And he actually introduces a model that he calls SLATES. And SLATES, it's an acronym. SLATES stands for search, links, authorship, tagging, like on Delicious or Flickr, extension, which is sort of the like the Amazon, if you like this, you'll like that, and signaling, which encompasses both sort of syndication and perhaps email alerts as well. And so he has this, you know, several-page article about how these technologies are going to revolutionize the way that the industry, enterprises communicate within within its own boundaries. And I read this, and I was sort of like, this is not exactly news. Microsoft has been doing this kind of, democratization of content for several years now. We just call it SharePoint. You know, this is a product that Microsoft put out in 2003. Obviously, it actually dates back further than that, but the first version of SharePoint, it underwent a pretty dramatic evolution in its 2.0 release, which was what came out with the Office 2003 suite. And SharePoint is all about democratizing content. Anybody inside Microsoft and anybody who wants to set up this kind of an infrastructure inside their own enterprise can set up self-service SharePoint creation, right? So I go to a site inside Microsoft to say, I need to create a SharePoint. Let's say you wanted to have a collaborative site to talk about ArtCast. You can go and say, oh, I'm going to create a SharePoint for ArtCast. Boom. 10 seconds later, you have an ArtCast SharePoint.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I did that. And so it's kind of funny because I was thinking about this, how, you know, I remember when I first came to Microsoft in 99, I created a website for the group that I was a part of then, and it was a lot harder. I mean, it was, set up IIS and start slinging HTML, and when it came down to it, I was the only person who ever updated that site because it was just too hard. You had to really know what you were doing to get anything on it. And so now it's like anybody here who wants to can slap out a site in a few seconds. They can put Word documents there. They can put all kinds of notices, announcements, and everything. Yep. It is pretty amazing.
Right. And so what's actually interesting is that so many teams do that. You can actually guess most of the time where an individual product group's homepage is, right? You just go, the internal URL is like teams/site/
ArtCast,
right?
That's my site.
Microsoft makes a bunch of technology for game developers called XNA, and I wanted to learn a little bit more about it, so I went on a whim, team sites XNA. Boom, that's their homepage. What a coincidence. So it turns out it actually makes it extremely easy for discoverability as well. Now, of course, there's also, obviously, SharePoint also has integrated search. It has, again, it actually has four of the six elements that Andrew listed in his article. It has search, it has the ability to do linking, it has the ability to author content, obviously, and it has the ability to signal. It doesn't support RSS out of the box in the current version. That's getting added in the new 2007, but does allow for email alerts. So I can sign up to be automatically notified via email when a folder is updated, a document's updated, or what have you. And so I wrote on my weblog to this effect that, well, I guess Microsoft has been shipping this Enterprise 2.0 technology for, going on 3 years now. We're about to ship, V3 of this technology later this year. I believe it's about to go in beta 2. In fact, maybe by the time you post it, it'll be in beta 2. And so it seems odd. From the one hand, it's like I totally agree with it because I've seen the effect of this kind of technology inside Microsoft's firewall. But then again, on the other hand, it isn't exactly news because this has been going on for 3 years.
You know what? What's kind of missing in this, though, I think it's, as you look at the democratization of content, one of the downsides of it, if you will, is that the amount of content increases exponentially, but there's a lot of really lousy content that goes out there. Like I was looking at this one of these video sites, that people have up in there, they can put videos. And there was the...
Wait, is this inside or outside?
Outside.
Okay.
Externally. It was a kind of a Web 2.0 type video sharing site. And the stupidest, moronic... Anybody who's got a camera or their little camera phone or whatever, shoot like, their best friend stuffing a French fry up their nose or something, whatever it is. They would, whatever they could come up with, they would just post it on there, So I'm thinking... I was looking for something in particular, and I just couldn't find it.
It wasn't somebody putting a French fry up their nose?
No. And I'm thinking, this is the problem. But I guess actually the idea of extensions and tags and ratings and those kind of things when you democratize content, you also at the same time need to have a much better way to sift through all the junk to get at what matters.
Right, and I could certainly agree with the argument that it would be great to have some type of enterprise class tagging and extension infrastructure, which SharePoint doesn't, in fact, support today. In fact, I don't really know of a good tool today. And of course, you know, my knowledge of the industry in this space may be somewhat limited, so I'm not 100% sure. I know, for example, one of the people that left a comment on my weblog was a guy who, he's the founder of Social Text, which is an enterprise wiki product. And they support tagging, but it's really only tagging, as far as I can tell, within the wiki itself. Right? So if you're putting content on the wiki, you can tag it, but can I tag non-wiki-based content? Because what you really want is not really the sort of Flickr kind of tagging model, which is all sort of included, you know, you've got your content and your tags side by side, but more of the delicious model where I can tag a URL. And tagging is actually a very fascinating way to look at sort of the bottoms-up kind of approach to categorization. You can imagine a lot of cases where you might use that inside the enterprise. For example, how do you categorize customers? Right. This is obviously Microsoft does this. We have, you know, millions and millions of customers from, you know, individuals up to the largest companies. How do you categorize them? Right. Well, you can categorize them based on size. And that tends to be somewhat obvious, but you run into a lot of gray area at the edges. You know, is this an enterprise or a medium-sized business? You know, is it small or is it medium? You know, those kind of things. Is one guy running a website that he's paying, that he's getting ad revenue from, is that an individual or is that a business? You know, so you start to run into some of these kind of categorization aspects, especially when you're working with this kind of top-down categorization scheme. And what tagging basically allows you to do is to sort of work bottom up, and it's an individual and it's a business, and there's not really any, you know, predefined top-down hierarchical notions.
This actually reminds me of a lot of the debates people have when you come to the word taxonomy. You know, so a taxonomy is just that. It's a categorization kind of structure where we try to put everybody in their nice little pigeonhole, and we go, oh, well, wait a minute. Here's somebody who doesn't really fit in this one or that one, and we have big arguments about taxonomy. And I think the assumption in information architecture of the past was that you had to have a taxonomy, a rigid taxonomy, in order to make the data useful. And tagging kind of flies in the face of that, right? It says, no, we're going to let anybody tag it with whatever they want, yep. and a natural taxonomy will kind of emerge, and we'll let people just go with it.
Yeah, they actually call it a folksonomy, to sort of differentiate it from a taxonomy. Taxonomy typically being top-down, and folksonomy typically being bottom-up. And, you know, I believe very strongly that tagging is inside the enterprise is going to come. I don't think it's really there yet. That's really of these six aspects, right? Four of them are already in, you know, a commodity product. I mean, SharePoint Services is a free add-on to Windows Server, right? So, you know, we're not talking about some hard to acquire piece of technology. SharePoint Portal Server, of course, is a server-based product, costs more. Well, it costs at all, right? I mean, it's a product, so you have to buy it for, you know, linking together lots of other sites. But I would really like to see some of this sort of tagging and tagging is more important as far as I'm concerned. Extensibility is going to be interesting, but I'm not 100% sure how you would build that, right? I mean, in extensibility in the Amazon case of people who like this also like that, you know, that's derivative of based on sales information. So you can say, you can make a very strong demarcation between, this is something I was looking at and this is something I wanted. In search, it's a lot harder. If I look at something, and I look at something, and I look at something, and I look at something, which was the right one, right? Where do I draw the line between, this is stuff I was looking at, and this is what I was really looking for?
Yeah, because you don't buy anything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's no, you could probably say, well, this is what he did this search, he looked at these seven things, but this is what he ended up on. You might make the argument that last one, you know,
or maybe that's just where you gave up.
Yeah, exactly. or maybe you found two or three things, but you were looking for, you know, you didn't want to stop at just one. So it's hard to sort of make that demarcation. So I'm not sure extension is really, I mean, of the six aspects, extension is sort of the least important as far as I'm concerned, or at least certainly the least feasible at this time.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, as I'm sure a lot of enterprises are in the same boat as Microsoft is here, because as enterprises are growing larger and larger and larger, every day you hear about this company acquired that company, and now there's, you know, multinationals, and And so there are global companies, thousands of servers, websites, documents. We're awash in information.
Right.
And then, you know, so here, of course, we can go to the search for Microsoft Web, and we can say, well, I want to search for SharePoint server, let's say.
Right.
And if I were to do that, I'd come up with, you know, a million hits, and I'd start looking through them, and I'd find, like, oh, here's a PowerPoint presentation from 2002 when somebody was pitching this, you know, as an idea. Or, you know, here's somebody's little... a status report on their SharePoint server product or whatever. I mean, I find a zillion things that I don't care about. In fact, it's probably reached the point where that search is pretty well useless because it's so hard to find the thing you want.
Well, you probably haven't seen then because they're now running the new SharePoint 2007 beta, and it's dramatically better.
Oh, okay.
It's using some of the same kind of, you know, link analysis approach that you see on other major search engines on the web. I think that it could get a lot better. I think that with a, you know, if you integrate a tagging type of infrastructure along with your search engine, I mean, that, as I said, I think that you run into this, you know, each of these six elements, some of them are different than others. Tagging is a lot about search, right? It's about discoverability, right? Certainly they're both aspects of discoverability. Search is sort of free text and tagging's about categorization or sort of, you know, human-based categorization as opposed to sort of rigid taxonomy type of things.
Well, I think they both operate under the principle that there's data that's kind of hot right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it might be, you know, like if I'm searching for SharePoint today, I'm probably searching for something about SharePoint with Office 12, right? And so maybe, you know, there's a certain kind of window of time where that's really the hot thing. And so don't show me the slide deck from 2002 because that's not the thing I'm looking for.
Yeah. The amount of research that goes into this kind of like search relevance is a massive and massive amount. And you're starting to see some of that stuff show up in products. You know, it's obviously been available in some services. But I mean, you run into this problem. Windows Live has done this now where you have the idea of search macros so that you can sort of filter down. And you run a search on the web and you've got literally hundreds of thousands of responses. And the reality is nobody looks through more than the first couple of screens full unless they're really, really, really dedicated. And so now you can start to say things like, I'm going to search, you know, technology blogs, right? Because if I'm looking for, I'm searching technology sites, right? Because I'm looking for a technology as opposed to some other type of aspect, you know. I'm going to search for, you know, to be slightly political, they've got a conservative and a liberal search macro. So, you know, you want to search on, you know, something going on with the current administration, you want the two different views, you can do that same exact search, but then use the different search macro to sort of limit, you know, which types of searches you do in order to try and increase relevance. And it's an extensible engine. It'd be interesting to see how that live.com search concept eventually bubbles up in enterprise products like SharePoint.
You know, it almost seems like For a tagging infrastructure to really work, you'd want to have it built in a way that could be federated. So instead of there being like one thing that does all the tagging within the enterprise, then maybe you'd come up with a way where a site could say, here's the tags that I've collected from users who looked at my stuff on my site, and other sites could surface tags. Kind of the same way that, you know, HTML pages had the idea of meta keywords that search engines would find.
Yeah.
And only those were kind of defined by the content author. And so you'd need a way where sites could serve up, hey, here's my tags that people have attached to my content.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. I mean, some services tend to be centralized, right? I mean, even on the internet, as decentralized as it is, search engines are centralized services, right? You don't do federated search, right? You're not, when you run a search against Windows Live, they've got, you know, a big honking, you know, they've crawled a significant percentage of the documents on the web and put it in one big index. So they've got a copy of the web, you know, essentially, right? That's how those types of services are built, right? And Google and Yahoo and all these other search engines are basically the same kind of a model. So search engine is an example of the type of service that is totally centralized. So I'm not sure I would make the argument that you have to federate, right? I mean, I can see the value of federating, but it isn't. I mean, by the same token, how much of the infrastructure today is taggable? None. So if I had a tagging infrastructure, again, I'd want it to look a lot like Delicious because what I'd want to be able to do is to tag stuff somewhere else, right? So I want to tag, you know, something on, you know, the SharePoint team site this way and something on the XNA team site that way. Or, you know, if I want to do something around collaboration, right, if I want to use the collaboration tag, SharePoint's appropriate, XNA is appropriate, because obviously, you know, XNA is about building games, and game development is a team activity built on top of Visual Studio team system. Oh, there's some more collaboration. So you've got all of these different types of documents or web pages or SharePoint lists or what have you. It would be great to be able to sort of tag all of these different things, even if the infrastructure that these documents or lists or whatever were deployed on didn't support tags.
I totally agree, but yeah. I'm just thinking from a couple different points of view. Like, number one, if I were running a site, it might be really interesting to me to know how people are tagging things on my site. Secondly, a lot of sites that do tags well kind of build the tag infrastructure for their site, like Flickr or others. So,
right.
So you go to look at a photo on Flickr and you can say, I want to add a tag for that, right? So their tags are kind of built into their site. Or other sites that don't support tags at all, you have to go to something like Delicious to tag right. those things.
Well, and that's why I said I think the Delicious tagging model is probably more appropriate inside the firewall than the Flickr one.
Well, but I'm looking at what if, say, SharePoint would allow me to tag any content on the site, let's say, and then maybe if I'm the site administrator, I can see what tags people are applying to the documents and things on my site.
Mm-hmm.
And then my site, maybe we have just an RSS feed from my site where you could say what tags are on your site or
yep.
or something like that. Or when I get the feed of what's on my site, I could get the tags along with the actual documents or whatever. Then those things could all be rolled up into some kind of enterprise-wide tag thing.
Sure.
You know, I think that would be really cool.
And SharePoint search works vaguely in that sense today, right? I mean, you can do with SharePoint services, I can search a team site. Right, I can't search, you know, anything outside of the scope of that. So if I go to ArtCast, I can search your ArtCast site for you know anything related to Harry Pearson. I could do that kind of a search. But if I want to search across the entire intranet, I've got to go to the sort of the main SharePoint search. And again, I think in the end, like search is about discoverability. And so as you start to tie those together, and the reality is, if you look at stuff like Google and Yahoo and Microsoft Search, you know, those are not really tag-enabled. And you have to go to sites like Technorati, which have these sort of tag-enabled searches. And I think it really sort of provides a the more information you know about the documents, right? So if you think of sort of standard, you know, text, you know, free text search, right? The big innovation that Google came up with was the idea of saying, gee, we're going to determine relevance based on interlinking of documents. You know, pages that are linked to a lot are higher relevance to pages that aren't linked to a lot. And obviously, it's you know a much more complicated algorithm than that, but they use that as an addition. So you can imagine having tags as being yet another way of evolving the search engine, right? Because in the end, that becomes a very fascinating way. What if I can sort of mix and match search terms and search tags?
You know, another thing that just hit me was that there's an issue of sort of user context. So, for example, in the enterprise, if I'm searching for SharePoint, knowing that I'm in the group that I'm in as a architecture strategy, you could assume that context-wise, I'm probably looking for things like maybe PowerPoint slides that were delivered by my colleagues at TechEd or something along those lines, rather than a status update on the latest SharePoint builds or something like that, right?
Makes sense.
So it kind of reminds me of in the larger Web 2.0, the issue of locality in web searches. So now you can go to like local.live.com and I can search for who's selling something I'm looking for in the Seattle area.
Right.
Right. And so I think there would need to be a notion of it's not just locality, but it's more like context in terms of maybe the business organization I'm a part of, or maybe locality is part of it. Yeah, those a whole bunch of factors that could apply.
Right, because obviously this team has got some marketing people, some administrative people, some architects. These people are probably, if you're looking for SharePoint, you're probably looking for something different than if somebody on the marketing team was looking for SharePoint. Yeah. Right? I mean, just, you know, and again, there is actually a little bit of that kind of stuff in SharePoint today. You can, with the Portal Server product, you can sort of target a piece of content for a specific audience. And so the problem you run into is, of course, is the audience is top-down taxonomy, predefined. Yeah. So you can't, you know, I think a tagging if you're gonna go this direction, it might be interesting to have sort of a tagging infrastructure to say, these are the things, the tags that I care about, right, to be able to sort of establish this context, rather than trying to do it based on job role or division.
Or what you could do is you could allow people to define tags about themselves.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. And so I could say, well, these are my tags I'm bringing with me to the search. They define my context, and then they can be matched up to things I'm looking for.
Exactly.
Ooh, that would be very cool.
I think so.
We are definitely thinking outside the box here.
So that's what this Enterprise 2.0 stuff is, at least as it's been defined so far, is primarily about, you know, bringing these types of participatory technologies inside the firewall, blogs, wikis, tagging, what have you. And I think that's as I said, it's not really news for me or for you, because we've been doing this inside Microsoft's firewall for the last, you know, 3 or 4 years, 2 or 3 years maybe, more accurate. But my actually question is, I had a hard time with the fact that that's all Enterprise 2.0 is, right? Like, that's a cool evolution, but is it really that dramatic? Is it really deserving of the 2.0 stamp? I mean...
Well, it's got to be more. So here was the interesting thing. I recorded a podcast with at the Spark event there in Las Vegas with Paul Knopf, who is a architect for an ERP vendor.
Okay.
And so we were kind of thinking out loud about Web 2.0 and these technologies and how they might apply to something like stodgy old ERP systems, right? But when you think about it, in the enterprise, we've got all these these large systems that have been gathering data over long periods of time. ERP is a classic one. And this data is kind of locked up, right? I mean, it's only available typically through the UIs that the ERP vendors give you. That means, you know, you have to know how to work them. You have to have accounts with them. You have to be trained on them, you know. So you got all this data kind of locked up. And it seemed to me that maybe one of the things that might be a revolutionary delivery in these kind of Enterprise 2.0 thinking would be a way of unlocking that data to the kind of casual user, maybe who might need to know about it. Maybe I'm searching for it, one of our colleagues, Simon, did a terrific demo of this at the North American Architect Forum, where he showed using the Windows desktop search to type in a search term, and it found something that came from an enterprise data store.
Right.
Now, the way he pulled it off was by doing a little add-in to search and then sucking little abstracts of these documents onto his hard drive so they would get indexed by Windows Search. But still, it's a very cool kind of mind-expanding demo to think about. What if there was a way I could find out about that PO or that invoice by just typing it into my Windows Search thing?
Right, and I think you start to really get into the space of enterprise mashups at this point. And to me, blogs and wikis inside the firewall are interesting, but old news. Enterprise mashups, how do I start to unlock that data? I mean, because really, what's the difference between unlocking that data and, you know, making available traffic information or event information or any of the other myriad of data that's available via RSS or plain old XML feeds out on the internet that are being used in these mashups today? Not much. Right, you're probably concerned a little bit about security, right? You know, if you're going to publish your, you know, if you're going to make your customer list available via XML, you know, you want to make sure that stays inside the firewall. But the capacity to sort of remix this data into these new applications, in the article, in this Enterprise 2.0 article that Andrew McAfee wrote, he talked about this example of, you know, these couple of people who were talking about integrating presence technology into their wiki and how they went from, like, you know, a discussion to an implementation in like 2 hours. And I'm like, that's interesting, right? That's sort of cool. But it's not just about enabling a bunch of individuals on the edge of the network of your enterprise to communicate. It's about letting them evolve the business, right? Either via new business models or new business opportunities out in the industry, or via new tools for supporting existing business models inside. So this is where you start getting into the remix and mashup type of ideas. And these aren't exactly new either conceptually, right? That's what people have been using Excel for inside the firewall for a lot longer than 3 years, right? But the reality is to be able to do these kind of things on live data, you know, without having to make bazillions of copies and always having the up-to-date version and those kind of things, that's sort of elusive. It hasn't really been captured yet by the enterprise. Now, how do I start to enable this sort of edge development, which is what mashups really represent, but still, you know, make it relevant and make it secure? And I think that, you know, we've got a ways to go in that space, but that's going to be a much more dramatic evolution, I think, inside the... Again, maybe my perspective on this is it's old news because Microsoft's been doing it, but it was a pretty big deal 3 years ago when it happened. And for a lot of companies who don't have this kind of communicatory infrastructure inside, you know, this, you know, participatory is probably a better term for it, like blogs and wikis inside, you know, maybe these other companies would be more dramatically, you know, affected by it. I mean, my blog, I originally ran on some infrastructure that I wrote, a blog engine that I wrote, which was originally targeted for, let's run blog infrastructure inside Microsoft. Today, we have a product on the verge of coming out. SharePoint did a lot of those kind of things, but we now actually have, you know, blogs are officially a way of, you know, that's what it's called inside SharePoint 2007. But then how do I, you know, as I said, I think the next step is really the remixing of data, you know, like, you know, we have an application inside our group, I don't know if you've seen it, which is using Virtual Earth to show a map of all of our field architects.
Oh yeah, that thing is great because we used to get all these emails like,
who's the AE for Finland?
Yeah, right. And then you'd be like all these messages coming back, and you know, and well, and from us, I mean, we're always traveling, we're going somewhere, right. And you know, and you're going, well, who do I call and who do I contact? That thing is very cool. You know, there's another great example. Which is a website we have called Account Explorer. Mm-hmm. And that's actually been around a long time, 2 or 3 years maybe. But I think when you were talking about enterprise mashups, that's the one that came to mind because this thing mashes up data from the enterprise software that our product support team uses, our CRM system, other financial things, our HR systems. I mean, it pulls data from all these things. And the general idea is if I'm going to visit a customer, I need to know before I walk in the door, maybe they have a really hot support incident. They're really going to want to talk about that. And if I walk through the door and I don't even know about it, I kind of don't look great, right? So that's a fantastic example because before Account Explorer, I'd have to install the help desk software or the support system software. I'd have to install CRM. I'd have to be trained on how to use these things and find the stuff. And it was a big pain in the neck, but this thing is great.
The one thing I would say about that, and I agree with you 100%, it's a great example from an application perspective, but it's actually a very poor example from a development process perspective because that application was built by our internal IT department and it's maintained like these enterprise systems that they're pulling information from. Right now, again, I think Microsoft, you know, the same way that Microsoft has been doing this kind of internal collaboration for years, I think Microsoft is ahead of the game when it comes to exposing this kind of data outside of the bounds of an individual application, so-called service-oriented architecture. The initial versions, by the way, for example, we have these sites internally like MS Market, which allow you to do sort of SAP type of functionality, MS Markets for procurement, MS Expenses for expense reports, MS Invoices for invoice approval. These things all end up talking to SAP on the back end. But because they're a single-use application, they're significantly easier to use. You know, learning to use MS Invoice does not require 2 days of training and blah, blah, blah. Those are all built on top of Calm, right? So, I mean, these were, you know, this was long before we were doing web services. So these ideas have been percolating around, again, I mean, for quite a while.
Yeah, if they had built a series of feeds off these applications.
And then somebody in the field said, you know what I really need?
Yeah.
I really need to be able to see all of this information from the product support and from the help desk and from account, you know, from the SAP and the CRM systems. Let's pull all that together in a user experience. That would be, from a development perspective, that would be more of a mashup, right? The sort of decentralized development model rather than the centralized.
Yeah. And I think the hard thing about that is that in the enterprise, the Enterprise is reluctant to open those kind of doors unless they see a good business need for it, right? And but it's unfortunate because there might be an amazing business need that they're just not seeing.
Well, what's funny is that what you end up with is you'll talk to the Enterprise and they'll be like, well, we're sort of antsy about shipping all that information outside and we're worried about how to control it and blah, blah, blah. But we also have this problem where we have literally, you know, thousands of Excel spreadsheet applications running around, right? I was with a large-scale financial enterprise a few years ago. They were a customer of mine. And I made the mistake of referring to these office-based spreadsheet access applications not mission-critical. And they slapped me around for about 10 minutes because they are mission-critical, right? This is the report that the VP determined, blah, 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 blah. You know, and if it doesn't work, you know, things go bad. But the reality is that this isn't some system that the IT department has built. This is some system that, you know, has been sort of hacked together with duct tape and baling wire by a guy who read, you know, learn Excel in 30 minutes on the weekend because he had a need that he had to fill. And so I think that, you know, you see this sort of combination of you know, enterprises are tend to be risk averse, and they tend to be a lot about control. And a lot of these type of participatory behaviors are around sort of trusting in your employees and giving up some modicum of that control, right? When all that data is locked up in the ERP system, no employee can take it and sell it to a competitor, right? And that's the thing that a lot of these kinds of enterprises are worried about, the risk-reward factor. But then at the same time, when you look at the amount of innovation that's occurring within the business units, on the edge, inside of these sort of, you know, low-tech development environments like Access and Excel, you sort of got to wonder, boy, if you could put these together, right, you could really sort of funnel that innovation into something that lots and lots of different people could use. And a lot of what Office has been doing, obviously the new version of Office has got, you know, they've really revamped the entire user experience. I was reading a great blog by the Office UI guys. I just discovered like a day or two ago, and I literally went back and read every single post that they've written since September when they first announced the Office UI at PDC. It's that good, right? And if you want to read about UI and what they're thinking and how they're doing and where they've gone, you know, makes a lot of sense. But they're also trying to do a lot of this kind of like collaborative democratization inside of it, and frankly, mashup development inside of the new version of SharePoint. SharePoint has the ability to sort of expose this enterprise data in a standard way so that you can access it inside of SharePoint. And once it's available that way, then you can start to mash it up.
See, I think if you began to think about unlocking the data that's in your enterprise in terms of feeds, it's only a very small step from the thing you're already doing where you're allowing like some guy with an Excel spreadsheet to go suck it out of a database,
right?
You know? And if you're worried about them selling that XML file to a competitor or something, hey, they're going to sell the Excel spreadsheet to the competitor. If somebody really wanted to do that, they could do that already.
Right.
So, I mean, I think...
Maybe it's not control as much as the illusion of control that enterprises cling to.
Yeah, exactly. But this would be... people who will take this step will find that it opens a lot of opportunities that they're not seeing currently.
I think so as well. I mean, the reality is I've talked about the sort of divide between business and IT for a long time, right? The business and IT, they don't even speak the same language most of the time, right? The things that the business cares about and the things that the IT department cares about tend to be somewhat different and oftentimes incompatible, right? So you run into this model where, you know, a lot of these edge office-y applications have been built because some guy in the business unit said to the IT department, we need to build this report like such and such for the VP. And the IT guy said, well, if you give us $4 million in about 6 months, plus an extra 2 months for the security review, we'll have a version one for you. And the guy's like, you're kidding me, right? And we don't have $4 million. Well, you know, because IT is so overloaded, the backlog is so huge that you need to sort of, you know, raise the level of abstraction and give those tools to the people who know how to build it best. And, you know, the guy with the Excel spreadsheet might have a sort of hacky little solution, but, you know, it works and it didn't cost $4 million and it didn't take 8 months.
Yeah. Wow. Well, some fabulous changes, revolution coming into the enterprise. Thanks so much, Harry, for joining me today.
No problem. I'll see you next time you're in the office. That'll be 4 months from now?
Yeah, something like that. Harry Pearson, ladies and gentlemen, with Enterprise 2.0. We ought to be tagging this conversation. I think that whole tagging thing has got something to it. You know, maybe we ought to have a new kind of internet standard about how sites gather tags and surface tags and... I don't know. Maybe the standard is so non-2.0. I mean, we want kind of organic growth out there, right? But, you know, that I think there's an interesting idea there. And part of the idea is that people decide what's valuable. Let's let them decide. And then let's make a way where we can see what everybody else thinks. And that's where the power lies. And that's why we're here on ArtCast.